We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Hitting the Hardwood. From mock drafts to summer league, every detail that is the NBA draft can only be heard here. Hitting the Hardwood with DeShawn Tate and Gordon Robinson.
Well, it's that time again. It is the draft week.
Yes, sir.
The Hitting the Hardwood podcast is back and just a few days away from the NBA draft. This is our 30-minute podcast. The NBA draft, NBA free agency, NBA summer league. Me, DeShawn Tate. They call me D. Tate.
And you should see him too, ladies and gentlemen. He is like a kid at Christmas.
Who, me?
Yeah, man. You got a glow about you like Bruce Leroy, man. It's all over your face.
I don't have a choice but to glow, dude. I'm light-skinned. It's been a rough week for the light-skins, man.
And it's like 90 degrees out here.
Yeah. And I'm still light-skinned. I don't think that's ever going to change. But it's been a rough one because Clay and Steph has fallen.
Yeah, seemed like the demise of the light guys.
I tried to get out. Nah, don't say that. The women beg to differ. The ladies beg to differ. I failed at running a 4.6 on the 40.
Man, you were set up. Like I said, I need to be your agent next time.
Yeah. I think I'm going to need to do that.
I would have never let you run in those conditions.
What's AD's Anthony Davis?
You want Rich Paul?
Rich Paul. My boy G-Rob, Rich Paul, the new Rich Paul.
Nah, I would never let you run in those conditions.
I was out here, man, don't even get me started. We're going to leave that alone, man. But we're here talking on draft night, draft week, rather. We're going to get into some interesting stuff, man. Some interesting things. Some trade predictions, some private workouts, a couple private workouts that the Atlanta Hawks have held. Anthony Davis, the big elephant in the room, going on to La La Land, to Showtime, I guess, if they still want to call it that, what kind of effect that might have in the draft, and just overall thoughts on that and some other movement that's been going on in the NBA. Let's jump into this right now, G-Rob. First things first, talking about some trade predictions, rather. What's on your mind? Because I think that there's a lot of moving parts. There's going to be even more in between now and, you know, the next couple of days with the NBA draft, and then following that up with free agency approaching at the beginning of the month. What says you on overall thoughts on this trade prediction stuff?
Well, first things first, we got to get to the point where with AD going to the Lakers, the New Orleans Pelicans received the fourth pick that was supposed to be for L.A.
Who won the trade?
It depends. It's too early to say, in my opinion.
Why?
Now, if the Lakers can put together a team to win the NBA title next year, then, of course, they've won the trade. But if New Orleans can put together a team that keeps them a title contender for the next 10 years, then, you know,
might be having a different kind of conversation.
Exactly.
Okay. And you don't feel like it's a little bit too early to be – because I know that – most people, the consensus would say, this is the thing that concerns me, is everybody's instantly talking about world championship contending teams. And as much as we like to say that about the Lakers and what they got in Anthony Davis and getting LeBron some more help, and, you know, Kuzma's still there, obviously. You know, my biggest concern with that is how we automatically penciled in the Los Angeles Lakers to be a contender, if not nothing else, a playoff team.
Right.
Once LeBron James stepped in, you know, arrived in the organization, and then they don't even make the playoffs, bro. So, like,
well,
with this,
they had some injuries with that too.
That's true, but they had a really good team. I mean, Rondo and Stevenson and Caldwell Pope. I mean, not that he's necessarily a household name,
right?
But they had more than enough to be able to make the playoffs.
Well, they should have, but they had, like I said, they had some injuries.
Sure.
And then once the key cog was injured in LeBron, once he kind of had the groin injury, I mean, it was a wrap, because that groin, it comes, it goes. You can never predict it. You can feel great today, and you get out tomorrow, 30 minutes from now, and it's tight. And so you can't really predict it. So in that, once he got injured, you had a band of misfits, man. They really didn't have a leader. You know what I'm saying? Not on the floor, because LeBron wasn't out there to direct and point and encourage guys when shots weren't falling. He wasn't there to tell them where to go and correct them on defense, things like that. So once he kind of got hurting on the sideline, he's basically reserved to being a cheerleader.
Unless you've been living under a rock, Anthony Davis is now a Los Angeles Laker.
Yep.
And with that, what all did they give up with that?
The Lakers gave away, the number four pick.
The number four pick.
Lonzo Ball. Brandon Ingram. Josh Hart.
Ooh, Josh Hart. Sounds like a lot. And there's more?
But wait, there's more. Also, they gave away two other first round picks. It's two.
Okay.
Which probably are going to be, you know, protected somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Lakers are in the playoffs or in the title contention,
they gave up a 2019 this year,
right.
A 2021 in 2 years, and then a 2024.
So it's three total picks.
So it is
picks.
Three
yes.
total, but exactly. two on top of the number four pick this year. With Hart and right. Ingram
and Ball.
And Ball.
Yep.
For Anthony Davis and what else? Was that it?
Yeah, and the luggage he comes with.
Which is injuries.
Right.
People forget about that
but
part.
The thing about the trade is, did you get what you want?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
And like, both of them got what they wanted.
And that's the thing. If you get what you want, then you can never say you got hustled or someone pulled one over on you. Because I'm assuming they would have very easily made this same deal during the middle of the NBA season this past season. You know, and probably would have only had an 8-man roster. But they would have gladly given away this whole thing for Anthony Davis back then.
We're going to get into how that affects the draft. A couple things I thought was funny was that, you know, with Rich Paul, the agent for Anthony Davis,
right.
coming out and saying, hey, if Anthony Davis goes out and ends up being a Celtic, then it's only going to be for a single year.
Right.
Which I thought was interesting. And the Celtics said, there's no way we're going to do that. Plus, you want us to throw Jason Tatum in there? There's no way that that's going to happen. And obviously, the Lakers had the opportunity to get this thing done a long time ago when Magic Johnson was still in the front office. But that didn't happen.
There was a lot of
keep Kuzma, too.
Well, there was a lot of feeling involved in that, too. I mean, I think both parties felt disrespected.
Mm.
You know, and New Orleans went out on a limb and started throwing out bogus trades and telling everybody how they're rejecting this trade, and they're willing to give up the franchise. They're willing to give us eight players, but we said no. You know, it began to get personal. So once, what's my guy's name that came from Cleveland, the GM?
Oh, Griffin.
Once
David Griffin, he's a Sparty. Yeah. I think David is Griffin. He? I think he's a Sparty. I think.
Is he? I was like, those are guys. Now you got to know your alumni.
I think he ain't breaking me no bread. So.
But once Griffin got involved,
sure.
Then he came in with a little more level head and was like, look, we need to get this deal done because we could wind up with nothing.
And I think, you know what? I'm glad that you said that because you took the words right out of my mouth, man, that it was perfect for New Orleans to make this deal because if they didn't, then Anthony Davis was leaving anyway,
right.
And then you weren't going to have no picks. You weren't going to have no Lonzo Balls, no Josh Harts, no Brandon Ingrams.
And no picks.
Yeah, and no picks. So you were pretty much going to be screwed from that standpoint. So I think it's going to get interesting. In what ways do you think that this will have an effect on the draft? Because another thing that I think if we're just kind of looking at this thing from a standpoint of projected starting lineup, I would imagine that it looks like Jrue Holiday at the two with Lonzo at the one, and then Brandon Ingram at small forward, and then power forward would probably be
Zion,
I would imagine. Now, the funny thing is Julius Randle coming out, you know, yesterday.
And saying that he's opting out.
And said that he's opting out, which I thought would have been really interesting. But even then, you still get a top three lottery pick in Jahlil Okafor at center. I don't know what they're going to do with Stanley Johnson or anything like that, or Elfrid Payton for that matter, two guys who are both free agents this year. But I don't know. You got guys like, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but you got guys like Tobias Harris and Chris Middleton and Julius Randle. And I think it would be kind of ideal to see guys like that as an Atlanta Hawk. But how does this?
But that's where it gets interesting, because do the Pelicans want to try to make this attempt to win now, Or do you go ahead and say, look, man, we're going to be a young team. We're going to be a young building team. We'll use the first pick and the fourth pick to build and make and create a roster.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you say, no, we need someone now? Mm-hmm. Because there are rumors out there already saying that they're looking to shop the number four pick
for
Bradley Beal.
Oh, wow.
And I'm sure that'll come with something else.
Sure.
You know, it'll be the number four pick and maybe Josh Hart or something similar, or maybe one of those, the number four pick and the other future picks that they got from the Lakers for Bradley Beal. But if you're Washington, are you willing to do that? Because I would assume, and it's just my opinion, that Washington may want to get rid of John Wall instead of Bradley Beal.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You might end up without either one of them, and that might be the direction that they probably would want to go because of the simple fact that it's like they want to try and make it a package. Like, if we're getting rid of Brad, then we're getting rid of the big. But you got to take on the Wall contract to go with it. So,
and who's taking that on?
Yeah, nobody.
He does. Just, what is it, Achilles? Was it his Achilles this year?
That's a tough one to overcome.
And I think he's.
Ask KD. That's a tough one to come back from.
Ask Boogie.
Indeed. Indeed.
So I think, okay, he has at least 3 years left. This is John Wall we're speaking of. Has at least 3 years left. $122 million.
That's hefty.
Plus a $46.8 million player option.
That's hefty.
For 22-23 season. Who's taking that?
Yeah, nah. No, thank you.
Sucker's born every minute, though.
I'll pass. Yeah. Especially if you're a GM. Now, no disrespect to the NBA GMs, but they got to be some of the silliest decision makers just based off of some of the folks I've seen drafted.
Right.
Darko Milicic. We ain't even going to go there. I love Joe D, man, but I like Joe D when he was the player.
Well, that's usually how it works. You like the player. You don't really hate the. I mean, you don't really like the executive.
Because MJ barely holding on, boy.
Well, he just.
I know he's not the GM. Right?
He's got the money, but right. I think it. Well, that's a whole. Different
That's a whole nother conversation.
That's a whole nother conversation.
In terms of, we just talked about a little bit about how it can affect for Bradley Beal. Because I heard some people say that, you know, love the Atlanta Hawks and they're big time supporters, fans, different people we work with, things of that nature. Would you be interested in a Bradley Beal? These are just a couple of names. Would you be interested as an Atlanta Hawk in packaging up all three of those first round picks, which is 8, 10, and 17, for a Bradley Beal? Would you entertain that? And or I've heard, and I don't know how factual this is, I feel like the price is probably a little bit too high. And I know that I'm not under the impression or assumption that the Hawks want to draft. I'm sorry, that the Hawks want to build through free agency, at least not this year anyway. I think they're looking more for the NBA draft to build their franchise. But would you entertain maybe a Ben Simmons, who I hear is on the best sides of Philadelphia fans? Not happening.
No. Because if you take on Ben Simmons has to change positions.
And change his mentality to me as well. I don't think you want him to be a guy that's helping you lead. Like I don't think he's a
leader at 76ers. Yeah. I think he's just a guy.
He's just a guy. He's just a skilled guy that can't shoot.
It became Jimmy Butler's team.
Mm-hmm.
So for all the naysayers who talked about Jimmy Butler when he was at Minnesota and Chicago and talked about how he was a bad teammate because he took on the scrubs and the janitor and he beat, you know, Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins in the scrimmage.
That's right.
And all the threats that he made, he took on a totally different image when he was the only one encouraging Embiid. You could see him encouraging other players to shoot the basketball. You know, if you watch the playoffs, you could see him. He was encouraging guys, and they were looking towards him. And Ben Simmons was just standing there like a stone-faced gremlin. Like, you know, he never changed his expression or anything.
I like Ben Simmons. I like.
You like him doing what?
I like the player that Ben Simmons is, obviously, with the exception of the fact that he can't shoot the basketball, but he's a big guard who can handle the ball. And then in addition to that, I'm not saying to be an Atlanta Hawk. Let me say that first.
Okay.
But outside of that, just the player that he is, I would like to see him play with a little bit more urgency to his game and play with a little bit more fire sometimes. I think he's a good ball handler. I think he's a good distributor, too. I don't think he's a great scorer, but I think that he reminds me a lot of kind of like Zion Williamson, with the exception of the difference athletically. Neither one of them are particularly good shooters, but you can't really stop them at what they both can do well.
But I think the difference outside of what you're saying is mentally. Mm-hmm. Mentally, since he's been at LSU, Ben Simmons has been a superstar mm-hmm. in his mind.
Mm-hmm. But he's not nearly as good as he thinks.
But he's
he
not
is.
A superstar to the rest of us.
Yeah, I'm just not a
Zion, on the other hand, right. is a superstar to the rest of us.
Right, right, right.
And he's a hungry savage.
He is.
And he's a guy who felt like he has nothing right now. He has everything to prove. And that's how he plays. Ben Simmons plays like he's won 6 rings already.
Sure. I'm not a big fan of his character at all. So, I'm just not, you know me, I'm always team light skin, hashtag LSU, hashtag light skin united. Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
LSU, light skin you, man.
Light skin you, baby. But I can do without Ben Simmons. I'll be okay with that. So we got that through.
So that's one way, going back to the original, that it affects the draft. The trade affects the draft because, sure. And if they don't, even if New Orleans don't execute the trade to get Bradley Beal, mm-hmm. look for them to try to do something similar to that. Try to bring some veteran leadership in with this group of individuals because you still have a young squad in Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart,
yep.
you know, Drew Holiday. You bringing in Zion, you still probably will need a veteran guy. So look for them to try to do that. It may not be with that 4th pick, but it may be through free agency, like you talked about earlier with some of those guys that'll be available.
Dude, that's crazy to just think about what New Orleans just got for Anthony Davis. Like, they got a number 2 pick in the draft.
They got
2 number 2 picks. When Lonzo go 2?
Yep.
They got 2 number 2 picks in the draft. Okay, they got a national champion in a collegiate national champion in Josh Hart. Another pick that they can, because the lottery, we all talked about this. The lottery and the draft itself is going to start at number 4.
Right.
So they got an opportunity to get the best player available from where the lottery, from where the draft starts after the first 3, obviously. And some more picks down the
road.
So
you can get a Culver. If you just wanted to, you can get a Culver. You can get
whoever
a Hart.
Whoever you want. I mean, with the exception of the 3.
Right.
If you want to go with Culver, if you think it's Reddish, if you think it's, you know, Hunter. I don't care. If you think it's my great-grandma.
Right.
You have her.
That. You have that.
You can
you
go get great-grandma. You might have to dig her up, but you can go get her.
Hey, man. She might have had a mean ball.
Oh, she no. She can dribble the rock.
You
now.
Know what I'm saying?
She dribbled a rock. Real quick, let's make sure that we credit where the Beal to New Orleans report came from, because I think that's pretty important. I can't exactly. I'm having a hard time sometimes pronouncing the name. But of the stadium and the Athletic, Shams Charania. I think is his name, so we want to make sure that we credit that. And speaking of crediting some people that's doing some really awesome work for us to talk about here on our podcast, as you're listening to Hitting the Hardwood with Deshaun Tate and Gordon Robinson, you can check us out on Twitter, our show Twitter, at HitHardwood929. That is at HitHardwood. 929.
We're picking up a little steam, man. We're picking up a little steam over there.
Yeah, we're pushing some stuff out there.
Yeah,
we're pushing some stuff out there.
We're carrying some good conversations.
Yep,
we're having, you know, we're going back and forth, man. It's some good stuff going on.
And the only way that you're able to do that is by following on Twitter, or you can follow our personal accounts.
At G Robinson Sports on Twitter, at the.commissioner.gordon on Instagram.
And you can find me on the gram or on the IG or on the whatever they call it nowadays. The same as
the
you can.
Book of face.
Yeah. The same as you can on Twitter as well, at Tate's Take Sports, TATESTAKE Sports. And I teased a little bit about how we needed to kind of credit some guys that give us some important subject matters to talk about. There's been 2 guys that have had private workouts here with the Atlanta Hawks, as it's been reported, that were private individual workouts only and could be the number 8 and the number 10 pick for our Atlanta Hawks.
Okay.
In the event that they don't trade up and make a move and package picks and all that type of stuff, Cam Reddish could be available, worked out for the Atlanta Hawks on this past Friday.
Right.
Before the weekend hit. That's courtesy of Chris Vivlamore from the AJC. And then you have Jackson Hayes, a Texas guy. And we want to make sure that we credit, who was that? That was Chris Kirshner of the Athletic when Jackson Hayes came in at a private workout a few weeks ago, actually. Just your overall thoughts on those two guys?
I've recently, it should be hitting the website pretty soon before the draft, but I put up a mock draft and I have both of those guys going to the Atlanta Hawks. So I believe that they worked those guys out for a reason. And I think they see something in those guys. And I think they would be great addition, you know, in terms of style of play, how Atlanta wants to move in the direction for the future. I think those two guys are going to be the kind of guys that they want to do. I mean, because Jackson Hayes, while he's still a little unproven, I think his mobility, you know, and athleticism is something that they wanted to pay extra attention to see if he can get up and down the floor with the guys.
Mm-hmm. I thought that Jericho Sims, his teammate over at Texas, would have been a little bit more ideal than he this year. But you know what? I'm not one to argue with people who love to draft based on, you know, I can't think
potential.
Of yeah, just a potential. There we go. I knew it started with a P. I was thinking about something else, but we not. Yeah. But yeah, potential. That's the word I was looking for. You know, and that's the crazy thing. I think what happened in the way that the Hawks, of course, we all know that the Hawks in the first round got 8, 10, 17. For, you know, the 17 came with the Taurean Prince deal with Brooklyn, things like that. And then in the second round, they got 35, 41, and 44. It's obvious that they got to go and get a wing player. We talked about how they could potentially package up 8 and 10 before they got the 17, move up, trade out with New York. In the Knicks, I don't know exactly what happened to that, but I think one of the things that I have a good feeling happened was they realized that if they wanted to move up in the draft, that wasn't going to be enough. So they had to also get number 17. Would you ideally, knowing that you need a wing and that your three wings between Culver, Hunter, and Reddish may not be there at 8, would you package up your three picks in the first round to go up and get your guy, assuming one of those wings is your guy? Or do you think that that's just too much and you stay pat?
I think that you can move up and still keep one pick. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Unless you're going for R.J. Barrett. If R.J. Barrett is your guy and you want to get him at number two, if you want to swap, you know, if you're willing to do something with Memphis and they're willing to fall back a little bit and you get R.J. Barrett ahead of New York.
But then, if it's not him, because he's a ball dominant guard from standpoint.
I'm not saying that that's what they should do. I'm just saying if that's your guy, if that's what, if you've done all your work and this is your guy, then I'm saying that's what you should, then okay, those three picks for that one particular player.
But that's one guy. R.J. Barrett. What if it's Cam Hunter?
If you're
or
Cam,
any of those guys?
Then you can possibly say I'll give you 8 and 17 and I can keep 10. And move up to number 5 or number 6. I don't think it'll take all three. Because if you're giving up all three, then I think you're starting to give up too much. Because especially based off of potential.
Five is the Cleveland Cavaliers and six is the Phoenix Suns. So they do have some opportunity. I think that there will be some conversation between the three teams, with the Atlanta Hawks being the number 4 pick with New Orleans and the number 5 pick with Cleveland and then the number 6 pick with Phoenix. But would Gordon Robinson package those three to go and get either Hunter, B, Reddish, or
no.
C?
I can answer no.
Culver?
No.
No.
Just because I believe those picks are greater than that one.
If you have to stay, you would stay.
Yeah, because there's still guys.
And you realize who these other guys are that's going to be right around that range of 8, 10, and 17.
I believe you can pick a guy or pick three guys who are still going to feel needs and who can be able to. So if you want a shooter, you can pick a guy who's a shooter. You know what I'm saying? He may not be Cam Reddish. He may not be Culver. He may not be R.J. Barrett. But he'll be a shooter. You know what I'm saying? You can get a shooter. You can get a defender.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a guy.
You can get multiple guys. You can go get a Mr. Potato Head.
So
you can go get an arms and an eye and make it one potato.
And you can, instead of it being one guy, you'll have three guys.
Options to choose.
Right.
Options is always
and
better.
And then you still have your picks in the second round where you may get a Romeo Langford falling.
Oh, he's going first round.
You never know. You may get a guy falling. You know what I'm saying? Where you can kind of pick up somebody.
$20 Romeo Langford go first round and not second round?
I can't say that. The draft is
we learning a whole lot about G Rob right now.
The draft
now.
Is highly unpredictable. I can't say what some of these guys will do, man. Some of these guys.
But we the experts.
But I'm not an expert on. We experts
You're
at
not
the
a
players.
GM. Yeah.
I'm not an expert on the predictions of what the GM.
The front office is going to do.
Because some of these guys like to panic and
That's
wet
right.
the bed.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And a guy that we know who's first round talent can fall.
That's true.
You know, all the way down. And
that's true.
Because so. I would never bet on what another man is thinking.
Maybe the most interesting name in this draft, and we hear the name being brought up so many different times. He drops weight, goes from 134, where he already can't afford to drop no weight, and falls all the way to 208. And I just want to know how much you really entertain, because, like I said, probably the most interesting name in the draft, but I'm getting multiple different perspectives from different people. So I'm brain picking right now.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on Bol Bol if he's there at 17?
It depends on who else is there. Honestly, I don't think it's a bad pick at 17, but it also depends on what you did at 8 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's a bad pick at 17. Because at that point in time, if you've filled some needs, then Bol Bol can come in and you can kind of gamble on him a little bit. And I say gamble only because of the injuries.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Once you get, like I always
yeah,
say,
but
once you get
to be, thin, bro.
He's real thin.
Bro, that man can probably hula hoop in a rubber band, bro.
And he's been injured and he's over 7 feet tall and you all already know how that goes.
Facts.
You know,
but that boy can shoot it. If ain't nobody really, and I get it, nobody's really watching when he was not injured.
I was
We're
watching
talking him. November, late November, early December, right up in that range. And a lot of people wasn't really watching much college basketball at that point. I know everybody loves their football stuff and all that kind of stuff. But no, like Bol Bol was putting up numbers and he was shooting with Curry range and just, he was lighting it up, you know. But at the same time, we're talking about a guy that's 7'2".
Right.
And
what'd you say, 208?
They say he dropped from 234 to 208. 234 was already looking like 208. Yeah. But now you tell me he's 208? That's probably looking like my, like.
Hey, man, listen. I put on a couple pounds. Had a few beers.
Yeah.
I'm 208.
Yeah.
Right now. 6'4".
Yeah, 6'4".
208.
This man is like a whole foot tall.
And I don't think I'm a big guy.
Right. No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt.
So to say, what'd you say, a whole. At least about a foot taller than I am.
About a foot taller than you. Yep. That's where we at, man.
So currently, I have, once again, self-promotion. I have in my mock draft, I have him going just above the Hawks.
Okay.
To the Orlando Magic.
Okay.
And then that to me, forces the Hawks to pick up. I got Tyler Hero.
Okay.
From Kentucky.
From Kentucky.
Yeah.
Who's arguably the best shooter in this draft, but between he and Cam Reddish, I mean, that's another reason why if you need shooters.
That's what I'm saying.
And Cam, and shooting is what you need, and size and length and athleticism and slasher and all of those things, that sounds a lot like Cam Reddish. We talked too many times about his red flags that
right.
he has already from a motor standpoint, but I like to think that, you know.
Would you equate it to a Ben Simmons style of play, that aloofness of on the basketball court, or he's not that extreme?
I think that is very, he has some similarities to Ben Simmons from that standpoint. I don't think his character is the same, but I do think as far as his approach to the game sometimes,
well,
I think is very similar. But I will say enough to say that Cam Reddish is a need. And I think that's the
right.
thing, is that a lot of people have already seen and heard enough about the things that he doesn't bring, but it's so hard to ignore the things that he can bring from a team. And my whole thing is like, dude, if this dude's motor is super low, like it is, because that's who he is by nature. It's not like he has a low motor because he doesn't want to bring it.
Well,
that's who he is by nature. My whole thing is that Go ahead.
Now, I said the big difference to me was at LSU, the reason why I'm not a fan at all of Ben Simmons, because at LSU, it always seemed like it was Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm. And everybody else.
And it was the LSU Tigers.
Correct.
So even with Cam.
I wasn't under that impression at Duke.
And even when he stepped back, you know, a little bit and let Zion and RJ have the show, even though I think he was the first one to sign, wasn't he?
With Who's Duke, this?
Cam Reddish. Wasn't he the first to sign for Duke?
I don't think so.
I thought he was the first one to sign.
I can't remember, but I don't think so.
He seemed like a guy that everyone liked. He seemed like a guy on the team that he was a part of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all friends together, as opposed to it was just me and y'all.
But it just didn't look like it was a good fit. And I'll be honest with you, and this might not be saying much, but I think Cam Reddish is going to be a better pro than he was a college player. Most people will probably agree with that. Some people think he was the best basketball talent, like best basketball player and highest ceiling of anybody on that Duke team because of everything that he can bring to the table. And make no mistake about it, a lot of these players, they look one way in college and they look a whole different way on the next level. Because a lot of times they're being hidden in systems.
Right.
And that reminded me a lot of Jason Tatum when he was at Duke. Not saying he didn't play good ball, because of course he did. He had a better college career than Cam Reddish in his 1 year. But he wasn't the player that we see right now with the ball. So same right. thing with Donovan Mitchell when he was at Louisville.
Right.
It was the exact same thing. He got hidden in the system. My problem is that if you can't get Cam Reddish to play from the tip with a little bit more of that urgency, and Coach K is his coach, and he can't even get that out of him, I'm not sure a guy like Lloyd Pierce, no disrespect to him, but I'm not sure that he can get that out of Cam.
I'm not sure if it's Lloyd Pierce's. It is his job. I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, because he's coming in as the development coach
That part of that is the culture that you set on for the team.
Mm-hmm.
So while it may not be Lloyd Pierce who's saying, hey, you got to pick it up, come on, let's go, clapping his hands, it may be Trey.
Mm-hmm. Somebody else, yeah.
When someone grabs the rebound and kicks it to Trey, Trey's looking at you like, hey, man, I got to have you here
yeah.
so I can kick it to you so you can hit this three. I got to have you. You got to run with me.
But you don't think that Zion and RJ did that enough?
Not really. And I say that because you're 18, 19, you're still being friends. And a lot of times when it's...
Yeah, but John Collins and Trae Young ain't that much older than these guys.
But they've been in the league. You know what I'm
saying? For 365 days longer?
But they've been in the league, and they've been in the league up under a Vince Carter.
Good point.
You know what I'm saying?
Good point.
So
that made a difference.
Right. I mean, it's just there's a time and place to be friends, and there's a time and place to be professionals. And
I think Vince Carter coming back to the Atlanta Hawks in the event that he does. He said he was coming back to finish off his last year in the NBA, but we don't know if he's going to be a Hawk just yet. I think that he could have a bigger impression on Cam Reddish than probably – he could probably get through to Cam Reddish probably better than any coach in the NBA. Probably. Any coach on the college level.
Any
– except for maybe John Calipari, maybe, outside of that.
Well, it's – always beneficial to have that, especially when you have that young team. That's what I was saying about the New Orleans Pelicans.
Sure.
When you have a young team and you're looking toward the future, saying not this year, but maybe 2 years from now, 3 years from now, we're going to start looking like we are a contender in the championship scenario.
Surely, yep.
That's why it's important to have a veteran who's willing to say, I'm not the star anymore. I'm willing to take a step back. I can come off the bench. I'll take 10 minutes here.
Yep.
Sometimes nights, if you need me, I'll take 25 minutes. And I'm still clapping it up. I'm still coaching to be that extra coach that players respect. Because a lot of times you get those guys, but you may not always be respected because you just might just be the guy off the bench.
Sure.
But being Vince Carter.
Your guys know Vince Carter.
You're going to be respected.
Folks know Air Canada.
Right.
I think that you mentioned a very good point. That's something else that probably I think this very young New Orleans Pelicans team is going to need somebody like that. I'm glad that you mentioned that. Before we get up out of here, because I heard you say something about coming off the bench and role players and things like that, veteran leadership, things like that. And it's the last thing I'm going to say before we get out. I was looking through different free agents, and I'm not sure how much he would cost, but I came up with a guy that I think would be very, very beneficial to this Atlanta Hawks team, and I want to see what you thought about it, because obviously there is no more Jeremy Lin. There is no more molding of Trae Young behind someone else. I mean, there will be to an extent, but that disappeared.
Yeah, Trae's the guy.
Yeah, yeah, but that disappeared. But you're still going to need someone to come off and give him a breather. And guys, DeAndre Bembry running point and all this type of stuff, that's not going to cut it anymore.
No.
Darren Collison,
I love
who has been very serviceable in this league as a backup point guard, reminds me a lot of the role that DJ Augustine plays a lot of times. I think that that's ideal and something that the Hawks might want to consider in free agency, because you're really not taking that much of a drop off in certain particular areas when Trae checks out and you got to bring a guy in. What's your thoughts?
I like it production wise. I just don't know what he would do for money. I don't know how much money that we would be able to pay him.
Right.
And would he be willing to, you know, bring himself here with the money that we can afford to be on that role, on that limited role that he would be put on.
Mm-hmm.
But production-wise, absolutely.
Sound like a good fit,
though. Great.
Sound like a good fit. If you were going to make a run at a wing before or when free agency rolls around, if you were going to choose between any of these guys, I teased it a little bit, Tobias Harris, Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton was just an NBA All-Star, right. I think. I don't know if the Julius Randle thing is a realistic possibility or anything like that. But between those three guys of Harris, Middleton, and Julius Randle, if you were the Atlanta Hawks and it was affordable, which way would you go?
Affordable, I would take Chris Middleton.
Okay. Why?
Just because he has that worker's attitude.
Okay.
He's a worker. I mean, like, look at what he's done in Milwaukee.
And Julius Randle just shed about 100 pounds.
Yeah, but Julius has been – he's had to do that.
Okay.
If he wanted to stay in the league.
Yeah.
Because before, the idea of Julius Randle wasn't that favorable.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to – he has about a season and a half. He had a good half of a season with L.A. And then he got to New Orleans and he started to pick up production. Because he wanted to get paid and stay in the league.
Sure.
Money's a motivator.
Sure.
But if you give him a new contract, does he go back to that chubby guy who wants to sit on the couch? You know,
couch potato.
So our Chris Middleton was the rock of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Interesting.
He's a solid guy. Like you can go with Giannis Antetokounmpo, but he was the flash. Mm-hmm. He was the star.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times when you needed buckets, you went to Middleton.
Sure. I'm glad you said that. I still like Randle right there. I don't think you can go wrong with either of those three guys
now,
personally.
If Randle is motivated enough and he's matured enough to say, okay, this is what I have to do. This is how I have to treat my body.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I need to do.
And
to
embrace
stay,
it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Then I'm all for it.
That boy getting chiseled, man. Real quick, we already talked about, because we're getting ready to get out of here. We already talked about the NBA draft coming up in just a couple days. Any overall thoughts? Because the folks ain't going to hear from us again until the draft comes back rolling around.
I think this thing is going to be fun, man.
Okay.
Like I said, you got the Hawks with 3 first-round picks. I don't think they keep all 3. I don't think the Pelicans keep both picks. I think Boston moves around.
Mm.
I think this is going to be we're going to keep hearing paperwork. You're going to keep
– Yeah.
All right, let's see. They've given away such and such and such and such for...
And it's all about to hit one after another. It's about to be like, such and such is trading this pick for this. Such and such is making a move. I mean, it's going to literally happen probably within about 24 to 48 hours.
It's going to be one of those drafts where you can't really say who won or lost, or you give them a grade on draft until the whole thing is over and the dust has settled.
Mm-hmm.
And you see exactly who's gotten what. You know what I'm saying? So you like after, you know how people love as soon as the draft is over immediately, oh, the Spurs won the draft. They got a sleeper, whatever, whatever. You won't be able to tell until maybe after summer league.
I'm looking forward to NBA draft night coming up this Thursday, June 20th, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you got a chance to get over to State Farm Arena, almost called it Phillips Arena, State Farm Arena, for the NBA draft broadcast.
It's going to be
featured
fun,
on
man.
There, so I'm excited about that. So be sure to come over there and check it out. Got some good things going on. from the people here on the podcast. I hope so.
I may be there, man.
And,
stop by. And
if you're on the website, go check out some of G-Rob stuff you got going on, mock drafts and all that. Go ahead and inform the folks.
Yeah, oh yeah, I got a mock draft coming up that should be there. It's just look up, 2019 NBA mock draft, Gordon Robinson, and it'll pop up. And you can, like I said, anytime, if you have any agreements, disagreements, any comments whatsoever, you can check me out on Twitter at G Robinson Sports, or check me out on Twitter again at HitHardwood929, and we'll chop it up, man. I don't have any problem going back and forth and having a healthy discussion about what you think, and I respectfully, take your opinion if you respectfully take my opinion.
There you go. That's the words of my boy G Rob at G Robinson Sports. You can catch me on the Twitter at Tates Take Sports. I always have to spell it out every time. TATESTAKE Sports. And of course, at HitHardwood929 at HitHardwood929. Until the next one, which will be after the draft, we'll give you a complete in-depth analysis and breakdown of this 2019 NBA draft. For DeShaun Tate and Gordon Robinson, signing off, hitting the hardwood 2019. Talk to you after the draft.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.